Well, it's a great privilege for me to be speaking to such a distinguished group of legionary priests and spiritual directors. It's a great privilege and to have Father Morin here and to be with my godfather, Monsignor Noel, and the priest who married my mom and dad 40 years ago, Father Zoll, and my boyhood heroes, Father Lindaki and Monsignor Clemens and Father Farrell from when I was growing up. So it's a great privilege to be here. I think some of you have been ordained longer than I've been alive. I think I'm 35. Is anybody here over 35 years ordained? Very. See, that's what I thought. Well, congratulations. All of you are excellent role models and examples for me as a young priest. I've been working on my talk here for the last 25 years, and that's remote preparation. The more proximate preparation has been the last couple months. And as my sister said, next week we'll have 25 years in the Legion together, Feast Day of St. Clair, August 11th. The topic today for this particular talk is the Legion as a pastoral tool. And to make it a little bit easier for me to remember the ideas that I'd like to share, I decided to divide up the talk into eight ideas or eight reflections on the Legion as a pastoral tool by using the word pastoral and having each letter give us an idea. I'll use it as an acrostic tool. Well, the first letter is P, and that stands for the Legion as the priest's mystical body. And I got this idea from one of the chapters that Frank Duff wrote in his book called Mary Shall Reign, in which Frank Duff says the priest must have members. The priest must have his own mystical body that he can rely on in imitation of Christ. That Christ chose 12 apostles. He handpicked them, he called them by name, he formed them, and then sent them out. And what did he do next? He listened to their reports. When they came back and say, you know, Lord, we cast out a demon here and there, our Lord listened to the reports that the disciples and the apostles had given him. So we see the pattern for every legion priest, of course, in Christ the High Priest, who chose his own apostles, formed them as his mystical body. Christ is the head, but he had members. And he formed his apostles, sent them out, and they came back and reported to him. And Frank Duff says that every priest is called to have his own mystical body. And that could be 6 souls, it could be 12 souls, it could be 100 souls, but he forms them himself and then sends them out to be his extension. Our Lord could have done it all by himself, but he chose not to do that. He chose to allow others to participate in the salvation of souls. Now, how do we relate to this as Legion spiritual directors? Well, I believe, first of all, we should ourselves handpick people and recruit people ourselves. So many times we leave it up to legionaries to do all the extension and recruiting, but I found that priests have a special grace of recruiting new members. Because if a pastor or a priest asks the layperson to be involved in something in the parish, they're usually ready and willing to say yes. And I found that in personally inviting people to join the Legion, usually they will say yes. If I invite somebody to a meeting, or if somebody is coming for spiritual direction, I'll encourage them to take a look at the Legion and perhaps come to a meeting and to learn about this beautiful organization. I found that some of the best recruits are recent converts, those that have recently come into the church through RCIA. They make some of the best legionaries. Those who have recently returned to the sacraments make some of the best legionaries. Many couples have had their marriages blessed in the church. They've just come back to confession. They've just come back to the sacramental life. And they make excellent legionaries because they're very filled with fervor for their Catholic faith. The converts, I believe, in our country today are really renewing the church. And we hear names like Scott Hahn and Steve Wood and Marcus Grody and all these converts that are on Mother Angelica, they're explaining how actually in the last 10 years over 200 Protestant ministers have become Catholic in the last 10 years in our country, and they are renewing the Catholic Church in our country. And many lay people as well are becoming Catholic through RCIA and are coming back to the sacraments, and I believe this will be really the lifeblood of the Legion in years to come. People that I see for spiritual direction, even when people come for confession, if they come face to face, oftentimes when they leave, I'll give them a holy card, maybe a little prayer booklet or something, a little pamphlet to read a little bit more about their Catholic faith, and oftentimes I'll give them a literature about the Legion and say, you might want to consider learning more about the Legion. So there's ways that we should handpick people just like Christ did. Christ chose his apostles and then formed them and sent them out, and I believe we should do the same, to form our own mystical body around ourselves, our extension of our priesthood. Just as our Lord sent his disciples out in pairs, like the 72, so we send our own apostles out in pairs. Now we have our own apostles in our parish that we can send out, and then they come back and report to us. I remember when Del and I were with Monsignor Moss, we went over to Europe to take the videotapes we had made of Frank Duff and help them to dub them in their own languages. We met a priest in Lisbon who had 9 Presidia in his parish. He said, Wednesday is my Legion of Mary day. I have 3 Presidia Wednesday morning, 3 Presidia Wednesday afternoon, and 3 Presidia meet on Wednesday night. And he was able, as the pastor, to go to part of each of those meetings. He went to perhaps a half hour, 40 minutes of each meeting, listened to the reports, and gave the allocutio in each of those 3 morning meetings, each of the 3 afternoon meetings, and each of the 3 evening meetings. He there had, in that parish, about 100, 120 active apostles, his own mystical body that he was forming and then sending out. And he called Wednesday my Legion of Mary day. And that's what he did on Wednesday. And you know, that those couple hours that he would spend with those Presidia multiplied his influence 100-fold. I love what Father Bradshaw says. A priest should do 100 men's work a day, but use 100 men to do it. If a priest had to do all the work by himself, that would have bad consequences on his own health and his own situation, time management. But if he can multiply himself by sending out apostles, he can influence so many more souls than he could by himself. So just as the apostles were the hands and feet of our Lord, so our apostles are our hands and feet. As the handbook says, when the priest gathers together with his members, he forms them, enlightens them, educates them, and then sends them out so the priest can actually hear everything, see everything, and can influence a large number of souls. One of my priest friends in Virginia is Father Weems. He's the spiritual director of the Arlington Regio. And he told me, he says, I don't know how a priest can sleep at night if he doesn't have the Legion in his parish. And you know why I said that? Because of canon law. Canons 528 and 529 say that a pastor has such awesome responsibility. He will be asked to render an account of everybody in his parish boundaries. Just like the Pope will be asked to render an account of what he did for the whole world, and the bishop for what he's done for his diocese, a pastor and associate pastors in conjunction will be asked, what did we do to bring the faith to all those in our parish boundaries? Canon law says that the pastor must make an effort to reach out to all those that have fallen away from the church and that do not possess the true faith. So how could a priest sleep at night if he didn't have a vast army, really, of apostles that were out there going door to door, reaching out to the fallen away Catholics, to the unchurched, to those that have no faith whatsoever? So we can, I believe, sleep better at night as spiritual directors than we could otherwise. You know, I found that the Legion can survive without a priest, but it cannot thrive without a priest. It can survive, but it can't flourish. I found that with a priest's involvement as a spiritual director, the Legion can divide into new groups, start new presidia, spread, grow, and flourish with the support of a priest. But without the priest, the legion can survive and does survive. It's amazing how it survives sometimes 20, 30 years without a spiritual director. Because the legion is very hardy, you know, with the handbook and the meetings. But with the priest, it can grow and flourish. So the legion is our own mystical body, the extension of our priesthood. It's incorporating the laity into our special ministry and allowing them to do certain things to bring souls to us so that we can do the sacramental aspect of our priestly life, our priestly ministry. For example, many of my legionaries in going door to door will find a shut-in, they'll find a lapsed Catholic, and they say, "Father, would you mind visiting that person?" And we as priests, I think, have to be willing to do that. Because it could be very frustrating for the legionaries to do all this work and to get souls right on the brink of coming back to the church and not have us follow up on them. So it does require us to do the sacramental work of hearing the confessions, meeting with the couples, helping them go through the annulment process perhaps, getting their marriages blessed in the church, getting them into an RCIA program. But if we do that, we'll see how the priests and the legionaries can work well together as the body, the head and the members working together to bring souls into the church. The next letter in pastoral is A. And for me, that stands for apostolic formation. Because that's what the legion does par excellence. The legion forms apostles. The legion, I believe, is the finest organization out there to form apostolic workers. And I have seen this time and time again, that the Legion can transform ordinary Catholics, just everyday run-of-the-mill Catholics, into well-formed, well-educated, holy apostles that are out there doing tremendous things to bring souls back to the church. I love the passage in the handbook where the cardinals are approaching St. Pius X, and they say, "Holy Father, what must we do to save society?" And the cardinals brought up, "Well, we need to build churches." And the Pope said, "No." "Well, we need to get more clergy." And the Pope said, "No." "We need to get more Catholic schools." The Pope said, "No." They say, "Well, what will save society?" And the Holy Father, St. Pius X, said, "What is necessary is that in every parish, there be a group of the laity that will be virtuous, enlightened, determined, and really apostolic." The Pope says that is what's going to save society, is well-formed, well-trained, educated laity that will sanctify the world in the workplace and spread the faith in the workplace. Now, what I love, really, one of the things I love most about the Legion is that it transforms souls into active apostles. And, you know, the Legion is only a couple hours a week, and yet what the Legion does for the person is that it makes them a legionary 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My own experience in working with the Legion as a director for the last 8 years, I have found that there are more conversions, more returns to the sacraments by the legionaries off duty than when they're on their assignments. And the reason for that is the assignments are only a couple hours a week of door-to-door and home visitation and different kinds of works, but the legionaries are doing work off-duty. They're influencing their neighbors. They're influencing their co-workers. It's amazing how many times somebody comes up and says, "Father, you know, I was talking to one of my co-workers this past week, and she said, what about, you know, this annulment process?" And so the legionaries, when they're quote-unquote off-duty, I believe are getting more people into the church and back to the church than even when they're on duty. That's sort of been my experience. Because they're oftentimes influencing their spouse to come into the church. They're spreading the faith to their children, to their grandchildren, to their neighbors, to the co-workers, to people they meet on the metro, to people they meet in the checkout line. Because once you transform an ordinary Catholic into an apostolic Catholic, they're going to be on duty for souls 7 days a week, not just a couple hours a day. Or a couple hours a week. What we're doing in the Legion is that we're forming the legionary mind in these members. We're forming a legionary attitude of somebody that's always on duty for souls. One of my best legionaries in my first parish was a hairdresser. Now, she only did like 2 hours of apostolic work with the Legion every week, but she probably did 10, 20, 30 hours of haircutting, 40 hours of haircutting. It's amazing how many people she would bring to me and to the sacraments by her work as a hairdresser. I must admit, it pays to have a pair of sharp scissors in your hands when you're spreading the faith, you know, when you're cutting hair, you know, sharp scissors. It did help a lot, I'm sure. But that idea that before she joined the Legion, she was just an ordinary Catholic. But after she joined, she had a legionary mind. She had the mind of our Blessed Mother, which is to bring souls to Christ. And she was always on the lookout for souls. I believe that the Legion really is what Vatican II is all about. And that's getting the laity, which is the sleeping giant, to awaken and to convert the world. As Frank Duff said, Vatican II, the Legion of Mary, is Vatican II in action. The Vatican II, in fact, in its document, the Decree on the Laity, Frank Duff says, represented an act of faith in the Legion. Because how else will the laity get involved in the apostolate if not through some organization? See, the laity generally will not be active or apostolic in and of themselves on their very own. They need incentives. They need organizations. They need groups. Look at AA. You know, how many people give up alcohol by themselves? Some do, but usually it's when they form into a group and they get support, and then they can make progress. And that's the way it is for laity. They can make progress by joining the Legion and by being formed into apostles. So the laity is that sleeping giant that the Legion is beginning to awaken, and it could convert the whole world. Now the formation that legionaries receive, as Father mentioned last night, is primarily at the Presidium meeting, which is a powerhouse of grace. It's where, as the handbook says, the different coals all come together to form the big barbecue pit of grace. And it's also, the Presidium meeting is that lens that focuses the light of the sun into very intense heat, so it can actually catch fire and catch flame. So the Presidium gathers all these individual lay Catholics together, forms them, and sets them on fire to go out to convert the world. The Presidium is that magnifying glass which brings each and every person into in one particular nucleus, as Frank Duff called the Presidium, a spirited nucleus, and then from there to radiate holiness throughout their parish and out there into other parts of the community. Now, besides the Presidium, the other way in which our members receive formation as apostles is the master and apprentice system. And this is brilliant. We see this all the times in hospitals where doctors will have their assistants watching how they do the operation and then participating. And then the doctor will allow the intern to try something and then give them advice. We see this oftentimes at restaurants. You have the head waiter, and then you see sort of like a shadow waiter come up watching, you know, how the waiter does it. And that's how it is with the Legion. You know, in about 2 or 3 weeks, somebody that's never done door-to-door can become an expert on door-to-door by working with an experienced legionary. And then within a few weeks, they themselves are that experienced legionary, and they can train somebody else in going door-to-door. So I found that the Legion can transform people into apostolic souls, and even in a few weeks. I've often found that when Catholics don't spread their faith, they will lose their faith. Father Faber once said that. Father Faber, the great convert to the Catholic faith, one of Frank Duff's favorite authors, once said that if you do not try to convert the world will convert you. Isn't that something? That's pretty profound. If you're not actively trying to convert the world to Christ, the world will convert you away from Christ. And that's what's happened in so many of our families. If families are just ordinary, regular families, they'll get eaten alive by the world, by the wolves of our society. Our families are like sheep, and there are many wolves out there that are destroying the family and destroying the faith. The way to solve this is to turn families into apostolic families, and fathers into apostolic fathers, and mothers into apostolic mothers, so that they will actually be trying to convert the world instead of being converted by the world. You know, the handbook tells us that when we form our legionaries, we form them into living miraculous metals, set up channels of God's grace to bring people back to confession, back to the practice of their faith. So legionaries become living miraculous metals, living, walking instruments of grace through which God can touch other souls and reach other souls through our legionaries. Really, when we give the legion to our laity, we're doing them a great favor because we're making their life fruitful. And one thing that seems to be evident in the scriptures is that Jesus will ask everyone to render an account for their fruitfulness. Look at the fig tree. The poor fig tree got cursed, and it wasn't even a season for figs. That's always bothered me, you know? Jesus came by, was hungry for figs. And remember, Frank Sheed said there's only two times Jesus ever worked the miracle of destruction, the figs and the pigs. Remember that? Well, the fig tree was not bearing any fruit. So what did Jesus do? He cursed it because it didn't bear fruit. Now, our laity will be able to bear fruit through legion membership. They'll be able to bring souls back to the sacraments or into the church or back to confession or get their marriages blessed in the church. So we are doing a great favor to our laity by getting them involved in the legion so they can be fruitful. So when they come before God, they can offer some produce of their labors. So apostolic formation is really, I believe, one of the greatest things that the Legion does, forming ordinary people into just incredible, well-formed apostles. The third letter in pastoral is S. It stands for the Legion as a school of spirituality. That's what the Legion is. It's a school for saints. It's a school of spirituality. You know, Frank Duff once said that the Legion makes saints and makes them by the bushel. Isn't that a great expression? It makes them by the bushel. And we've already seen this with the martyrs of China and with such holy people like Frank Duff, Fidel Quinn, Alfie Lam, Michael E. King from Africa, Joaquina Lucas from the Philippines, and others that are, God willing, will be beatified and canonized, hopefully during our lifetime. So the Legion is a school of spirituality. It's a maker of saints. It's an instrument not only of the salvation of souls, but of the sanctification of souls that belong to the Legion. And it's amazing, the Legion is only 75, 80 years old, and yet it already has like five people up for canonization or beatification. I mean, the orders such as Franciscans and Dominicans have been around for 800 years, practically. And the Legion is only a little baby in the crib still. I mean, an organization that's only 75 years old, when you look at the history of the church, is just in the infant stages. And Frank Duff was hoping and praying before he died that the Legion would eventually grow into a full-grown adult and be able to help convert the entire world. But I think it's pretty impressive that an organization that's still in its infant baby stages, in its little legionary diapers, is able to produce so many holy people, so many holy men and women. I think it was Pope Paul VI, I believe it was, who said that the establishment and the founding of the Legion of Mary was the greatest event in church history since the establishment of the great mendicant orders of the Franciscans and Dominicans. That's a pretty powerful quote because he saw the potential of how the laity could convert the whole world. So we have the Legion is a school to produce saints, a school of spirituality. And what I see the Legion doing in the life of my legionaries is helping them develop a spirit of self-discipline, self-sacrifice, courage, generosity, obedience, faith, hope, charity, and even punctuality. I remember Bishop Paches of the Philippines once said that before the Legion was established in the Philippines, the Filipinos had what they call Filipino time. You heard about that? Everything would start a half hour late. If Mass would start, instead of 9 o'clock Mass, it would be 9:20 Mass. Instead of 12 o'clock meeting, it would be 12:30 meeting. He says that because the Legion was established in the Philippines, there's no such thing anymore as Filipino time. They are very good, very dedicated. And he says that it was really the Legion's discipline that helped to bring that about in the Philippines. So the Legion influences people in such a profound way. Now, at the heart of Legion spirituality is the true devotion, this total consecration to Jesus through Mary, in which our members give themselves completely to Jesus through Mary, consecrating themselves, but then living in union with our Blessed Mother. And that really is the heart of Legion spirituality, the Montfort's true devotion. I'm sure we've heard about that during this seminar. The true devotion really was the backbone of the spiritual life of Frank Duff, Edel Quinn, Alfie Lam, and even our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Matt Talbot, and many others. I believe the book, The True Devotion, has helped to produce more saints and holy people since its writing than perhaps any other book in recent church history. And we're so blessed and privileged to have that as really the heart and soul of our Legion spirituality. So our spirituality is a Christ-centered Marian spirituality, and it enables us to radiate that holiness then to other people. And I myself have been very edified and inspired by the holiness I've seen in legionaries. And I'm sure you've seen that as well as priests and spiritual directors. I've been on a number of PPCs, and on some of those PPCs we had little old ladies that were 90 years old out there knocking on doors. People in their 80s out there knocking on doors, and these people were very holy people. And they're the fruit of the Legion spirituality, the fruit of the Montfort's true devotion, the consecration. And I've also noticed that when I attend the Presidium meeting, that I as a priest receive continual formation and spiritual growth as well. Through the handbook reading, through the discussion of the members, through their comments on the reports, I found that I benefit spiritually by attending the meetings and by being present at those meetings, because I receive spiritual formation as well at those meetings. I'm sure you would also say the same thing. My dad tells a story of when my mom and dad were visiting a priest back, I guess, 1958, and they visited his presidium, and around the table were four little old ladies. And afterwards, my dad came up to him and says, "Father, it's a shame you only have four members." And he says, "What do you mean? I have four saints around my table." And he meant it too. He was so proud of those little old ladies because they had become very holy through their Legion membership. The next letter in pastoral is T, and that stands for the Legion as a theological resource. The Legion is a theological reservoir for our members. The Legion offers good, solid, orthodox theology. The Legion handbook is filled with the doctrines of the faith, the teachings of the church on such topics as the Trinity, the Incarnation, the Holy Spirit, Mary's relationship to the Father, the Son, to the Holy Spirit, the Immaculate Conception, Mary's mediation of grace, angels, patron saints, the Eucharist, the mystery of suffering. The handbook is filled with theology. The handbook is a theological reservoir. I once counted there's 173 quotations from sacred scripture in the handbook. The handbook is, 365 pages? It means like on every other page, there's quotations from sacred scripture. There's 47 quotations of papal documents in the handbook. There's 62 saints that are referred to in the Legion handbook. The handbook is a theological reservoir, and it offers sound Christology, Mariology, and ecclesiology. You know, Father McGrath once said that if every Catholic book was burned during the persecution of the Church and only one book survived, if it was the Legion handbook, you could rebuild the Catholic faith based upon the theology in the Legion handbook. It's all there. The Trinity, Christology, the Blessed Mother, and the mystical body. Especially the teachings on the mystical body and Mary's motherhood of souls. Thomas Aquinas says that the central doctrine of Christianity is the mystical body of Christ. And that's really at the heart of the Legion's theology and the Blessed Mother's motherhood of souls. The next letter is O. And it stands for the Legion as an outreach program. We hear a lot about this in our day and age. Every evangelization is the rage, and we're hearing a lot about outreach. But I believe that the Legion offers a proven method for outreach. It's an instrument, a tool for bringing back the fallen ways as to bring people into the Church. We've heard about the three C's, the three great works of the Legion, conversion work, of going door to door, inviting people who are no religion or other religions to belong to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church that Christ founded. Conversion work is our primary objective in the Legion. But then there's also conservation, which is going out after the fallen away Catholics and conserving our Catholics, bringing them back to the full practice of the Church and back to sacramental life. And then there's consolation. Of course, the hospitals, nursing homes, and shut-in visitation. Now, what I think is unique, though, about legionary outreach is that it's a Marian outreach. It's our Blessed Mother working through legionaries. So the Legion, as the handbook says, is a local presence of Mary. So it's not just some organization doing apostolic work. It's Our Lady's mystical body. It's Our Lady's presence, Our Lady's motherhood of souls reaching out through lay people to bring others back to Christ. You know, I've often thought that in a parish, you know, of course they call us Father. Hi, Father, how you doing? Morning, Father. They call us fathers, but where is the mother in our parish? My opinion is that the presidium is the presence of Mary in that parish. And if we as priests try to have a parish without the Legion, I believe we would want to call it a single-parent parish. You know, like many families today are single-parent families. And as you know, that's a very challenging situation for a mom to try to raise kids by herself or for a dad to try to raise kids by himself. A single-parent family has extra challenges. What about a parish that only has, quote-unquote, the Father, without having the presence of Our Lady through the Legion? So I believe that the Presidium, as a presence of Mary, is sort of the mother of the parish, and that the priest working with the Legion can be true parents to the whole flock, to all the spiritual sons and daughters that are in the parish. And working together as a team, the priest with the Blessed Mother can bring many, many souls back to Christ. I've often thought, too, that the investment of time that a priest makes is well worth it. See, a Presidium meeting, an hour and a half, and most of my Presidia have had maybe, you know, 10 members, perhaps more, some of them have had more, but an hour and a half of me being at that meeting is the equivalent of me going out doing 20 to 30 hours of apostolic work. 20 to 30 hours. That's one of the best investments we could ever make on our time, because every member does 2 hours of work. If I spend an hour or hour and a half with 10, 15 members, forming them, and then having them go out, That multiplies me about 20 to 30 times. In my first parish of having the two senior, two junior, and two intermediates, we had about maybe 50 to 60 members total in those presidiums. And each one of them, all the seniors were doing 2 hours, all the juniors were doing an hour. That was about 100 hours of apostolic work that was done each and every week. Even if I was on retreat, even if I was on vacation, 100 hours, I could count with 100 hours of apostolic work was being done each and every single week. Multiply that by 52 weeks a year, that's over 5,000 hours of apostolic work that were being done, that was being done each and every year by the legionaries. And they could be promoting anything that I wanted them to promote. For example, a mission, the miraculous middle novena, daily mass, perpetual adoration, whatever I thought was the need at the time, I would have the legionaries promote. For example, the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, Pilgrim Virgin statue, perpetual adoration, whatever it was, they were willing to do that as apostolic workers. You know, the whole idea of the word pastoral represents the idea of a shepherd taking care of his sheep. And the laity, and also scripture tells us, are the sheep. And we're called to be good shepherds of the flock. You know, in that analogy, I like to call my legionaries my sheepdogs. Okay? What does the sheepdog do? It keeps the sheep in the flock, and it will fight off maybe some of the enemies that would try to devour the flock. And plus, the sheepdogs will go out and round up the lost sheep and bring them back. And that's what our legionaries are. They're the sheepdogs that bring back the fallen away, those that have drifted away, maybe gotten off track or off the path. When we attend our Presidium meetings, I believe we're putting our pulse on the parish. We're taking the pulse of our parish. And through the Presidium, as the handbook says, we can reach out to other people in the parish that we might not personally meet. Jesus says that we're called to, I believe, know our sheep by name. We as priests are called to do our best to get to know our people, even by name. And by listening to those reports at the Presidium meeting, I believe it's one way in which we can learn our flock by name. The next letter is R, and it stands for the Legion offering the laity a rule of life. That's what we're offering to people, a rule of life, through active membership. Now, granted, the meeting is only once a week, but that can be the backbone of their spiritual life. We offer them a rule of life, the Presidium meeting, weekly spiritual direction, weekly spiritual formation, their daily catena that they pray, the daily catena, then their apostolic work, the 2 hours in which they try to see and serve Christ as the Blessed Mother would, and then keeping the confidentiality. This rule of life is shown us in the four standing instructions. But I would also recommend that, and at least it's come to my mind in reflecting upon this, is that I think we as priests should encourage praetorian membership maybe more often than we do. We maybe at least twice a year, three times a year, we should give an allocutio about praetorian membership. Because this can offer somebody an even deeper spiritual life, a rule of life, in which the person can be encouraged to undertake daily Mass in Holy Communion, the daily recitation of the Rosary, all the prayers in the Tessera, and to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. You know, I've often felt that Frank Duff and the Legion was very smart and very clever and also very sneaky, because they got people into the Legion by only having them pray about a minute a day. That's all it takes to say the catena, right? About a minute a day. Frank Duff was very determined that other prayers such as the daily Rosary would not be mandatory for active membership, because people would use that excuse and say, well, I don't have time to say the Rosary every day, so I can't be an active member. Frank Duff said, no. We'll get you in the Legion. All you have to do is just say the catena every day. And yet the catena is that chain, that link, and the Blessed Mother pulls on that chain and pulls the person into daily prayer, daily Mass, Liturgy of the Hours, Rosary, See how the Blessed Mother pulls them in by that chain that contain them into a real spiritual life, a rule of life, and the Legion becomes that rule of life. I found from my experience that Legionaries will pretty soon undertake regular confession. Oftentimes they'll ask for spiritual direction, and they'll ask for books on spiritual reading. So we see how the Legion truly is a rule of life for the laity. The seventh letter in pastoral is A, and it stands for Adult Education System. So the Legion offers an adult education system. And what I found is that there's a crisis in catechesis, as you well know, as far as the textbooks and as far as adults not knowing their faith. That could be one of the single greatest problems in the church in America, is that adult Catholics simply just don't know their Catholic faith as well as they should. And because of that, they don't pass on the faith to their kids, grandkids sometimes. And so the Legion, I believe, can solve the problem of adult education. Because at the meetings, we receive education in our faith. The handbook is full of the education in our faith. But I want to mention three ways in which I believe that we can increase adult education through the Legion. One of them is through our allocutios. Our allocutios are an invaluable opportunity to form the faith of our legionaries. And what I always recommend when I work with young priests or seminarians is that to make sure their allocutio is, you know, 5 to 6 minutes on some legionary topic, preferably the spiritual reading from the handbook that they had just read at that meeting. Because the allocutio is our great opportunity to help form souls and educate them in what they need to learn. And oftentimes, when I've had Presidia, like my two junior groups in my last parish would meet at the same time on Saturday morning from 10 to about 11:30, so I go to half of one meeting, half of the other. So I would always have the presidents, because I always let them pick out the spiritual reading. I felt that that was something I would let them do. I like to delegate as much as I possibly can. But I would ask them to let me know what the spiritual reading was going to be for that week. So I knew ahead of time what I could prepare my allocutio on. And I found it to be very helpful. Even if I had to come in late for a meeting, let's say coming from a funeral or coming from an appointment, or being at another meeting, I could at least know what they read and give my allocutio based upon the Legion handbook. So the allocutio is the first way in which we can form the faith and educate our members. The second way is what the handbook talks about in the back, called the work of study. Now in the handbook it's called study of the faith. And I think a lot of us neglect that important opportunity we have at the end of every Presidium meeting to discuss some good Catholic book. Well, what I've done in my last 4 years in the parish is that we've gone through some of the Pope's encyclicals, some of the documents, and the way we do it is that every member is given a copy of the book. It might be an encyclical by the Pope, or a book on apologetics, or a book on church history. The handbook lists all sorts of things that can be studied at the end of the meeting. Every member gets a copy of the book, and just have them read 3 to 5 pages during the week. And then at the end of the meeting, right before like other business, spend 5 or 10 minutes, have every member go around and share something they got out of that reading. And that's one way. Not only are we reading the handbook at the meeting during our spiritual reading, and my allocutio is based upon the Legion handbook, but then we have the opportunity to discuss a little bit about the true devotion, or about the imitation of Christ, or about introduction to devout life, or the story of the soul, or a book on church history, or a book on Catholic apologetics. I think it's one way in which we can really help to form our members in the faith. And then the third way is the patricians. The patricians as this phenomenal system. You know, I've been in Legion a good number of years, and I've been to a few patrician meetings when I was a kid and things like that. But if I knew how great the patricians was, I would have started it like 8 years ago when I was first ordained. I only started it a year ago at my last parish because some of the people said, Father, we want to get together every month and discuss apologetics. And I said, okay, well, you know, there's something in the Legion called Patricians. Why don't we just start that instead? And so we did. We started the Patricians. And I think it's been one of the most incredible things I've ever seen for adult education in a parish. It meets once a month, 2-hour meeting, and we always get a lay person to give the opening address for 15 minutes. And the topics that we've done during the last year, topics such as what do Catholics believe about Mary, what do Catholics believe about the Eucharist, purgatory, the papacy, indulgences, confession to a priest, limbo, what must I do to be saved, is the Bible alone all I need, how did the Reformation happen, how to keep your kids Catholic. That one was probably the most interesting one. We had over 60 people show up for that one, how to keep your kids Catholic. Great topic. That's a good one to start with if you're interested in getting the Patricians going. But what I see in the Patricians is an opportunity to do adult ed for the regular people in the parish. But the Legion, of course, sponsors it. The Legion altar is there. And I always have Legion literature and handouts and booklets and tapes available for the people that come. And I tell my legionaries to come as well. And then during the refreshments, during our tea and crumpets, you know, we have them circulating through the room, talking to the people. And we've gotten active members. We've gotten people to encourage them to go to daily mass. We've also gotten people to make holy hours. My last parish had perpetual adoration. So they were able to even, you know, talk about different things with the regular parishioners that would come because they thought the topic was of interest. So the Patricians is phenomenal. I know my sister does the junior Patricians, and she raves about what the kids do, and Father, you know, has been raving about what the kids have been saying and with the junior Patricians. So really encourage you to consider Patricians. It's easy to start. Every parish could have one. And if you're interested, I put some literature on the table about that. But just one comment about the junior Legion before I go into just my last letter in pastoral is that I see, especially in our Diocese of Arlington, a large number of homeschooling families. And I found that they really make very good junior legionaries. I don't know how big the homeschooling is up here in your diocese, but in our diocese, it's very strong. And we now have a whole, you know, junior curia made up almost entirely of homeschooling kids. Because the parents are very committed to the faith, they're very dedicated. Religion is a priority, as well as, of course, soccer and ballet and all these other things that people are doing these days. But the homeschooling families tend to be really focused on spreading the faith, keeping the faith, passing the faith on to their kids. So that's just a thought that I think the future of the Legion for the juniors will rest, I think, in a large amount on the homeschooling families. Lastly, the last letter, the eighth letter, and the word pastoral is L. And to me, that represents the Legion as a lay vocation. It's a lay vocation. It's a way of life for the laity. It's one of the greatest gifts we give to a layperson. And I think of people like my mom and dad and Don and Joan Taggart and many others that, and my sister, Gail, my other sister, where the Legion is not just an organization, like a sodality or something like that, or a fraternity or a third order. It's really a way of life. And this is something that we should remind our legionaries time and time again, that it is the expression of their Christian vocation. It is something that is not just an organization, but it's a vocation, it's a way of life. Just my last couple comments would be on how the Legion, I think, can be a vocation within a vocation as a priest. You know, because we have a lot of priests that support the Legion, but you know, there's something special when you can say, oh, he's a Legion priest, you know, or he's a legionary priest. And I think hopefully all of us, that's what we are. We're not just priests that encourage and promote the Legion, because we encourage and promote other good things as well. But we are Legion priests. and legionary priest, which means they were also a member of the legion. I think that's sort of maybe a different mindset in which we should have, that obviously we're priests working with the legion, but we should all consider ourselves members of the Legion of Mary. I love what Frank Duff says, live and die as a legionary. When I was a little kid, he sent me a little note, and at the bottom of it, he said, hold on to the legion. Hold on to the legion. And hopefully, that's what all of us will do. We'll hold on to the legion as members. And we'll attend that meeting. We'll even go on PPC. If you've never gone on a PPC, treat yourself to a week going on PPC. Or give a legion retreat or a legion day of recollection. If you've never made the legion promise, make the promise. When you go back to your Presidium, say, you know, I've never made the Legion promise. Maybe I'll make it next week, or pick a feast day of the Blessed Mother and make the promise. It will edify and inspire your members if you've never made the Legion promise. Also, put yourself down as a Praetorian member on the roll books, just tell the Vice President, because we're doing all those things anyway, right? The Rosary, the Mass, the Liturgy of the Hours. We should be, our name should be on that list of Praetorian members in the Presidium. So I think we should see the Legion as sort of our vocation within a vocation as Legion priests. And I like to think of the Legion as our expression of our devotion to Mary. Because if the Legion is Mary's mystical body, Mary's spiritual presence, a presence of Mary, then our love for the Legion and for the meeting and for our legionaries is really an expression of our devotion to our Blessed Mother. And that's how we honor and serve our Blessed Mother, by being devoted legion priests and spiritual directors. Our patron saint, as the handbook says, is St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Apostle, because he was Mary's priest. He gave her Holy Communion in Ephesus, and he said Mass for her every day, most likely. He was Mary's priest, and the handbook says that every priest should look upon the Legion as John looked upon the Blessed Mother. We're there to serve her and honor her and love her and to nurture the Legion. And that's what we do towards our Presidium. We should see the Presidium as a presence of the Blessed Mother in which we can be devoted as John was devoted to our Blessed Mother. And I found in being in the Legion that I get a lot more out of being in the Legion than I did. Because I found that in the Legion and being a priest spiritual director, that I have more people praying for me than ever before, the support of the laity, the encouragement, the inspiration I receive from the legionaries, the edification I receive from their membership, the good Catholic friendships that I formed with legionaries. And I found that they bake me a lot of chocolate chip cookies. And there's a lot of good benefits of being a Legion spiritual director. And I have found that my own spiritual life has been greatly helped by being in the Legion. And I think that all of us could say that being in the Legion it's fulfilled or maybe rounded off our priestly vocation, given it that Marian touch, given that special mantle of the Blessed Mother around us. And I found that the Legion as a expression for my devotion to the Blessed Mother has been a great source of fulfillment and joy and happiness. God bless you.